Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Up to 90.
Hey.
How are you, missus?
I'm grand. I don't know whether it's the old darkness or whatever, but I'm definitely in lockdown mode, I have to say.
Well, I'm not going to start off the conversation by saying any news, because honestly, if anyone's asking you any news at the moment, the answer is no. Please stop with your any news, any crack. Banned. They're on the ban list. None of us have any crack and none of us have any news.
I know. There's not a lot going on.
Up to 90 with Emma and Julie.
An abracababra yesterday.
Well, hello there, Colin Farrell. Is this SponCon? Do we even know? Do you know what? They'd be an amazing sponsor, wouldn't they? You know, abracababra.
We've been trying to get them for years. I mean, they don't seem to be taking bait whatsoever, but it was my first time, would you believe this, Judy? It was my first time using Deliveroo.
Oh, stop it. Your first time using Deliveroo?
Yeah, because in other places, I'd either order it from the Chinese or chipper or whatever, or I'd just go to the place and pick it up. So this is my first time using Deliveroo because I was really just like, I really just don't want to have to go anywhere. But it was thrilling. It was absolutely thrilling tracking.
When they arrive on the bike?
Tracking, well, he was in a car. This is what I don't understand. Is there different forms of Deliveroo? But,
well, obviously, I only ever got a Deliveroo which arrived on a bike, and then I feel bad because my chicken korma would be chicken tikka is my favorite order on a if I'm availing of an old Deliveroo. But I always found that it was slightly tepid, and I just didn't want to complain because the poor man obviously cycled as fast as he could, you know what I mean?
It's kind
you
of
don't want to be like,
it?
Listen, you need to, I'm not asking for Lance Armstrong here, but you need to up the cardio because this is, I mean, I had to microwave this just so you know. I just feel bad when they arrive on the bikes. I know the whole point is that, like, you know, you're paying the extra bit to get it delivered, but like you're still given the tip. Of course you are. So like you end up paying so much more for the product.
I know. Well, look, if you're getting takeaway, that's like the least of your fucking worries. But I don't know why he wasn't on a bike, actually. He was definitely in a car because I was tracking him and I was like, he's coming into the estate now. And it was pretty exciting, I have to say, the whole experience.
But do you not find, though, you know, with the tracking, I always think even though you know it's safe, like, you know, he's bringing you something nice, like you still feel slightly panicked that they're coming to kill you. Do you not feel slightly alarmed as you see them nearing the premises?
No.
I always feel like that. I'm like, there's something about just watching this vehicle approach my gaff. I'm like, I mean, I'm sure this is fine, but I do feel it instantly kind of invokes my flight or fight reaction. And I feel like I should flee. Is that something I should talk to someone about?
I think you should talk to somebody about that. I find the whole, I said to somebody recently, I think I'm only really getting takeaways. It's nothing to do with actually wanting a takeaway or the hunger. It's just more the adrenaline rush of getting a takeaway and hoping that it all works out okay and everyone gets what they ordered and stuff. Like, I could look out the window and see like a fire brigade and an ambulance outside, and all I'm thinking is, God, I hope the delivery is going to be able to get down the road with all that commotion. Like, I'm so,
yeah,
the tunnel vision is real when I'm in the height of just waiting for the food. And I don't even think it's about the food, you know?
I think you do get a bit singular when you've ordered a takeaway, don't you? Like, you could get any news. Like, you order the takeaway and within that 40 minutes or that hour long window, you could get any news. Anything could happen and you're still just focused on getting that takeaway.
Well, that's the only little bit of excitement these days, really.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's the only bit. Well, you see, we can't get takeaways. So, like, you're really, you know, this is salt in my mountainside wound.
Is there no takeaway that you can get?
So our nearest takeaway, now I have given them a shout out before, but the Owl Fish Box in town is our favourite takeaway. And we do go there, but we live like nearly a half an hour from town. So realistically, by the time it gets home, you know, I mean, you can't, it's not a delivery situation. So Fred has to drive in. And by the time he's home, it's generally, you know, needs a little bit of heating up, which I do think just takes from the whole takeaway experience if you have to migrate. But it's still delish.
God.
There's no delivery option in Dingle. None whatsoever. You have to get in your car and you have to get that food yourself. So it's just, it's not the same.
I'm just thinking of, like, this is obviously years ago, this is before Joe and Tommy, myself and Ella and Shane went camping in the tents, the whole shebang, right? And it was in Wexford, this little campsite, very nice. The weather was grand, you know, bit of fun or whatever. And we decided when we arrived, we had a little fire thing or whatever. And we're like, oh, you know, first night here, let's get a little bit of takeaway as a little treat, a little bit of fun. And Shane went up to the takeaway. And Shane was like, oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, actually, I'll get the taco fries. So I can't remember what me and Ella got, but whatever we got.
Well, now, can I just say, you're playing with fire. When you've gone camping and you're ordering taco fries in this situation, I mean, I think taco fries at the best of times, like, look, we're all asking as few questions as possible. What meats in the taco fries? Okay, bit of everything, grand. Like, you're not, I mean, it surprises me because Shane's not a massive meat eater, that would be his choice.
But you see, he is a fan of the taco fries. So me and Ella had kind of opened up our stuff and absolutely fine and, you know, happy with what we're looking at. And Shane, I think he got a burger. So maybe he kind of inspects the burger first and he finally gets around to looking at the taco fries and he opens the lid, right? And what he's presented with is a tray of chips, and on top of the chips is, it's basically tinned tomato, chopped tinned tomato poured over the taco fries, and the tomatoes are just straight out of the tin. They're cold.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was day.
That's pretty great. Was there a bit of cheese on top?
No,
like, maybe they were going for a salsa vibe. Oh, well, I mean, a bit of cheese. Can we just say a bit of cheese on top forgives a multitude of sins? Like, if I have a dinner and if it can't be fixed by a bit of cheese on top, well, then, you know, we're in dire straits because everything can be fixed with a bit of cheese on top.
No, there was no cheese. And I think we were horrified because we're like, what even is the fuck? What is that? So it was like as if somebody They obviously have it on the menu, but like nobody had asked for taco fries before, and somebody had been sent like a blurry picture of what taco fries were, and they just were like, looks like just chips with like kind of red stuff on, and like, oh yeah, we'll just put a few tin tomatoes on it. But the worst thing about that experience is, and it's happened again, like, I mean, that was an extreme case, and I should have maybe, you know, set a warning before I said that, because it may be triggering for some people. Like, that was the worst case. But in that situation, when your food is completely fine and the other person's food is a fucking disaster, it's such a horrible situation for you to be in, because you have to downplay the enjoyment that you're having from your food, and you have to make suggestions.
You don't want to have to swear. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to be in a sharing situation. Like, nobody's going splitsies with Shane, who's ordered chips covered in chopped tomatoes.
You kind of try,
like, Shane, you made your choice. You made your choice. I just think, live by the sword, die by the sword.
It's every man for themselves. You're kind of making suggestions, like, would you try, could you maybe pour out some of the tomatoes? And they're just at the point then when they've given up. And they're like, you're like, well, mine's okay. It's just, it's very awkward.
What did you get last night?
I got a chicken. I got cheese, bacon and garlic sauce fries. Now, really what I want is the old school Eddie Rockets bacon cheese fries.
Oh, my God. Empty your pockets, Eddie Rockets. It can't be beat, honestly. Yeah. Do you remember the time?
Can't be.
The Sophie Tuscan to Plantier episode and the end of it. And I just give a big clangor at the end. And I say, what do you think of that, Emma? And you said, I think we need to go to Eddie Rockets. Because you were so hungover. And that's like our second most listened to episode. And you were bored off your tits. You're like, I couldn't give two shits. Like, within 60 seconds, you're like, who fucking did it? Tell me the time. I'm like, just let me talk you through some of the story. You're like, no, sorry. And you were sitting there with your hood on.
Well, I mean, I think that's really interesting that one of our most popular episodes ever, I say about 16 words. I mean, that's a real wake-up call for me, isn't it?
Well, I think
all I say is, let's get bacon cheese fries. That's my only contribution to that episode.
I know. I think in your defense, I think at one point you also said, come on, Julie, get on with it, at some stage as well. Like, let's just give you credit where credit is due. Yeah, no, I would love an L takeaway. One of these days, it's going to happen for Christmas. I know it. We're going to get an L takeaway. I didn't get to have takeaway food, but I did do the next best thing last night, which was I Googled myself. Did you see this?
Yes.
I threw the response up.
Did you really Google yourself? Because that's why I commented, did you do this just after our phone call? Because I was like, did she really? She's like, yeah, no. No, you're dead right, Emma. Yeah, yeah. And then like, I think I'll just go and Google myself.
Well, I mean, Googling yourself is self-harm. Let's face it. I mean, yes. You know, you're only Googling yourself if you hate yourself. Let's face it. So, no, I didn't do it after our phone conversation. I don't know what got into me. I'm not sure I've ever had the balls to Google myself. But I did. I'd had one glass of wine, needless to say. And you know when the wine has been open for a week and you're like, it's grand. And then you've one glass of wine and you basically black out. You think to yourself, this is just vinaigrette now. So I had my glass of wine, Googled myself, and then the results that came up. So I typed in Julie J, and obviously Julie J is the first thing that comes up. The second one, Julie J Twitter. And the third suggestion, Julie J Twitter meltdown. And I have never felt so on brand. I just like the way everything is so cohesive. So Julie J, you're looking her up. You're a corporate, you're a big company. You want someone fun. You fancy a bit of comedy for your staff party. You think, you know, I've heard this girl, Julie J, which let's face it, isn't going to happen. You think, you know what? I was once in the interim one night. I think there was some mad bitch called Julie J. You look it up. And the first option that comes up is Julie J Twitter meltdown. How am I not getting more corporates? That's the big question. My brand is so cohesive.
Well, I think about the old Twitter meltdown was, I got more messages from people after the meltdown had been deleted. And was there an apology for the meltdown?
What do you think people were...
People heard about the meltdown and they wanted to see it. A lot of people never saw the Twitter meltdown, you see. So they were like, what the fuck does she keep? And now this is going to lead to people to search this Twitter meltdown again. But it's like an urban legend at this stage. People haven't, because you just put it back up.
You know, you're right. Actually, there must be a screenshot floating around. If anyone's out there and you have a screenshot, send it to me and we'll just put it up on the Up to 90 Insta page just to have it there as a reference point. I think that would be a good idea. Hilariously, you probably heard that. You probably heard that vibrate. I got a Google Pixel 4a phone. Really like it. This is not sponsored by Google, but I cannot for the life of me turn off vibrate. So I keep vibrating and Ted is just a nervous wreck.
How did that happen?
Can anyone help me? I have to put this on airplane mode now, Emma, because I just can't switch off the bloody vibrate. Do you know what I read today? I think you're going to find this very funny. Do you know, I imagine you're not the type who watches that Mummy Diaries. Do you watch Mummy Diaries?
No. What's that?
No.
With Sam and her
sister,
you
know, with the
it?
Fair sisters. Sam and Billy, from Towie. The only way is Essex. So I found this so funny. So Sam put up a picture today on her Instagram and she decided to quote Anne Frank in her caption. So she shared a snap of herself in her bedroom and she's got, like, you know, the upholstered headboard behind her and she's, you know, staring into the light and she says, "What a wonderful thought it is that some of the best days of our lives haven't even happened yet. Couldn't have said it better myself, Anne Frank." How funny is that, Emma?
I mean,
I just, isn't that just, I did smile out loud when I read that. I said to myself, that is just, I think I'm bad for the lack of self-awareness. And then Sam Fares goes and quotes Anne Frank in relation to her new bed. Thoughts?
I am not going to be dishonest here and call myself or claim to be some sort of history buff. But I think for all of us, like, we all kind of have the gist of Anne Frank's story, don't we?
I would think so, unless you're Justin Bieber.
Is this like, was this a sponsored post about getting a free bed?
I don't know, was it a sponsored post? But she's sitting on the bed and, it's one of those, I'm getting a bit sick of these. Hashtag stay positive, hashtag focus on the good. I'm getting a little sick of these hashtag stay positive posts, guys. Come on, like, you're quoting Anne Frank and you're saying hashtag stay positive. I mean, honestly, I think we need to get some perspective here.
Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm not surprised. But
no, I mean, Sam, she doesn't seem like the swiftiest, Sam, does she?
No, that wouldn't have been her major selling point. I mean, kind of, in a way, I'm like, Jesus, fair play to them that they're still making an old living and getting, like, a TV show. I mean, I never would have predicted them. I totally get Gemma Collins kind of having her own thing going on.
Of course. Oh, yeah. I mean, Gemma's like a totally different ballpark. You see, I suppose you could criticise the Fares, but, and Sam and Billy, but ultimately, like, the appetite for them is there because it's no mean feat these days to have a TV show that's definitely in its third or fourth season at this point.
Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it?
I mean, and, you know, it's standing the test of time. Like, personally, you know, I wouldn't necessarily have much interest in them. I do find the whole situation with Paul, the partner, a little bit like he just, I can't quite see the appeal of him as a human being. But ultimately, I wish them no ill. I just think it is mildly amusing that she is comparing her situation to Anne Frank's.
I love that. I mean,
there's
surely
no similarity there.
Like, nothing against him or anything. I just can't find the appeal of him being a human being as a human being.
I mean,
like, don't get me wrong.
No problem.
Seems like a nice guy, but just like, he's not pulling off the human being part for me. That's just for me.
Emma, what I'm saying is I'm not fully convinced he's human, but at the same time, you know, there's no denying he exists, is what I'm saying. I will say in his defense, do you remember Paul Sr. got into a bit of bother a few years ago when he kissed his mother on the lips? I'm sure you saw that clip that was going around, and a lot of people were like, that is so gross, shifting your mother. But I will say, I mean, look, live and let live. That's what I say, Emma. But Harper, do you remember there was a thing as well with Harper Beckham kissing David on the lips when she was kissing the dad? I think, I mean, look, I speak for everyone when I say, sorry, but if David Beckham was your dad, of course you're going to be kissing him on the lips. Like, I see nothing wrong with it.
Jesus, I just find, but these shows, like, when if you watch them and you fast forward through all the intro music and the ads and whatever, like, there's, you know what I mean?
There's maybe 7 minutes of content, and most of it is Nell, that little, is it Billy's little girl?
I haven't a fucking clue. I don't know. It's just,
I hate to say it about a 5-year-old, but I do think the hype has got to Nell or Nelly or whatever. I used to be a big fan of her, but I honestly think she's changed. And I'm not just saying that just to be controversial. I think Nell has changed. I think the fame has gone to her head a bit.
What age is she four, is she?
Nelly is her name. I'd say she's 4 or 5 maybe, and she's extremely cute, but I just think, you know, as I say, I think the hype could have gone to her a little bit. I mean, look, let Sam quote Anne Frank. It's fine. I mean, it's not as bad. Do you remember when Justin Bieber went to Anne Frank's house and wrote in the guest book, oh, Anne was a great girl, hopefully she would have been a believer? I mean, way to make the Holocaust about you, Justin.
But speaking of Nelly, I was only thinking of Nelly the other day.
Dada.
Why did we all lap up that I'm like bird? Such a fuck song, wasn't it?
Well, it's funny you mentioned Nelly Furtado, because I do think yourself and Fred must have a private WhatsApp conversation going, because Fred only quoted Nelly Furtado the other day, and he said that she did like Slane. Did you know this?
No, I don't think I did.
Yeah, she did Slane. And this was when, you know, the way Nelly, like, obviously we knew her from I'm Like a Bird, but she kind of, this other songs were a bit edgier. Do you remember her other songs were a little bit more, you know, like Man Eater and all that? Like, they were just a little bit edgier.
Yeah.
But apparently in Slane, she was so, I think that Fred was saying that he was there and she was going through all the, like, you know, Man Eater and Promiscuous and all that kind of crack and Broken Strings, all those songs. And then everyone was like, come on, just get to the fucking It's Like a Bird. And then everyone's just standing there and finally she's like, okay, fine. I'm like a bird, and everyone's like, I only fly away. It's like, you know, when a performer says to you, I'm going to play some new stuff, and you're like, don't play, wheel out the fucking hits. That's what I'm paying you for.
Oh, Nelly Furtado.
Well, she was. I mean, do you remember turn off the light? You know, she was kind of doing all that kind of crack, and everyone's like, just play the bird song and let's all get on the bus and go home. Come on, Nelly.
Jesus, I didn't realize I was opening up such a can of worms bringing up her name there.
Ah, sure. Did you like Nelly?
No.
Okay. Well, that's a bit of a conversational cul-de-sac.
No, but she was one of those people where you didn't like her. I had no plans to buy any of her music. But like, if it was on the radio, I would have a little sing along to it. You know, she's one of those people. But like, I never knew anyone that was like a big Nelly Furtado fan.
But I don't know if it's...
must have been, but...
I mean, obviously she must have been big if she was playing Same, but I know what you mean. Like, do we know anyone who actually bought an Nelly Furtado album?
Anyone who actually handed her over some cash, like?
I mean, I think, because it's funny, there were two Nellies floating around then in the early noughties. I think we'd all kind of, I mean, if the other Nelly had been playing Same, we all would have been there. It's getting hot in here.
That would have been a good one.
Oh, how much fun would that have been?
God, that was a real song. Like, you remember when you were out, when you were younger, if that song came on, that was the song, cue somebody grinding up behind you that you didn't know, wasn't it? It's like, what do you actually think is going to happen here? Do you think I'm actually going to start taking off my clothes now because of this song? Is that what you think is going to happen?
Yeah. And I mean, that was in the bad old days when on more than one occasion, a guy came up to me in the throat and just grabbed my breasts. And I can remember one of the guys, he worked as a chef in like a cafe in Dingle. And I can remember he grabbed my breasts and I was like, what are you doing? But it was to that song. It was to Nelly. It's getting hot in here. Like, generally bad shit went down when that song came on. It was just a case of hit the loo because this is not going to be good. But I went in a couple of days after and he came out from the kitchen. He was like, I just want to say I'm so sorry about the other night. And I was like, oh, yeah, when you grabbed my breast. But again, this is like the early noughties. So I was apologizing to him. I was like, no, I'm sorry you grabbed my breast. And then he said, look, I tell you what are you getting for lunch? And I was like, I was just going to get a sandwich and a tea. And he's like, the tea's on me. I was like, you're not even going to give me the fucking toasted sandwich.
Christ almighty.
It's getting hot in here. But it wasn't his fault, Emma. He's just a man. It was Nelly's.
Do you remember Sex on the Beach? That was a bit of a controversial song. And I went to the Gaeltacht. It must have been before my junior cert went to the Gaeltacht. And we used to do, you know, the way they do these like little talent shows where each house would have to get up and sing a song in Irish. And one of the houses, it was one of the boys' houses. I don't know whose idea this was and why they decided to carry it through. But they sang, this is a whole load of like, you know, 14-year-olds. Majority of them were like 14, 15. And then a couple of older boys maybe who were like 16. And they sang, they got up and they sang, Gnais Air and Tra. And
everyone did Gnais Air an Tra.
It was so bad, but the only dance move they did was when they sang Gnais Air an Tra, they do a movement like they were thrusting forward. So like all these spindly little children do this. I don't know what they thought was going to be the outcome of that song, but it was like it was so bad, and they actually, I don't know who, obviously like the Moonshores that were in charge or whatever, they ended up closing the curtain on them. Like they boycotted it.
Okay. That's when, you know, shit's really hit the fan when you close the curtain.
Yeah, they closed the curtain on them. And then...
I used to hate being a Moonshore at the Gnais Air an Tra. You see, I know what you mean. Like, what was their thought process behind that? And what I always loved about being a Moonshore on these little Gaeltacht courses, like the boys, they would have had such crack with that because they'd have had to practice that in their gaff.
Yeah.
and getting the dance right. Like, it's just, it's so much has gone into that. That's what I love. It's the backstory.
Yeah. Whose idea was it? Who got behind the idea then? Who made up the dance routine, the practicing, the translation?
So I'm like, so many questions. But you see, you get away with it in the grade school because all you have to do is throw a fada on it and suddenly you're playing by the rules. Like, you could be up there singing, I want to talk about, what was that one? I want to talk about sex, baby. I want to talk about you and me. I remember one time a girl's house did that one. And sure, what can you say? The only rule we've given them is it has to be in Irish.
Yeah, my friend's house, they did one where they did a routine to some Wrigley's chewing gum ad that was on TV on the time. I think it was Juicy Fruit. So what they did was they picked the smallest girl in the house and they gave her a queen's chair. And they all kind of did this dance where their arms went in and out. And then the queen's chair collapsed and they fell into a pile of chairs behind them. And the curtain was pulled on that. But that was because somebody had been injured.
Oh, my God. You know, once I actually let the kids play musical chairs with this other teacher. I don't know what we were thinking. We were just like, we need to kill this half an hour. So we said, because you see, you're there in a hall with 100 children and nothing. There's maybe one pack of cards. No, like, their phones are not allowed. There's no screen. There's one pack of cards, one game of Connect Four. It's raining and everyone's got a chair. And you need to think of, what do you do? Okay, what do we have? We have chairs. Let's do musical chairs. Like, there's only so much you can do with the chair. But a child actually did fall and he broke his nose, actually, the poor fella.
God.
Did feel bad about that. Yeah. Yeah. I know that story took a bit of a turn, but I just remember the time we were like, you're grand. He's like, I think it's broken. We were like, you're fine. Honestly, it's definitely not Brista. And myself and the other teacher were sweating. So that's when we said, you know what? Everyone can speak English for maybe 5 minutes. Just to kind of, that was our payoff.
Let's sort out this nose.
Niall's face, Niall's throne will never be the same. But let's, you've been so good today and I'm going to buy your silence with a bit of English.
That's a good plan, though.
As you know, we are part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network and there are loads of deadly podcasts on that network for you guys to tune into. And this is one that we think you might like if you want to check it out this week.
I'm Connor Reed with words to that effect. How do the Victorians invent time? Where do all those pirate clichés come from? Should we all read romance novels?
His mouth glided up her neck with feather-like.
Why are kids so obsessed with dinosaurs? What makes the perfect detective story?
We'll just have to go and solve this crime ourselves.
What happens to culture and society in a post-apocalyptic world where everything has stopped? Words to that effect tells stories of the fiction that shapes popular culture. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts and at WTTEpodcast.com.
You know what I was thinking of as well, Mrs. Worthy, old baby clothes?
Yeah.
Do you know with the boy clothes, they have so many pockets, don't they?
Yeah, well, they just have little man's clothes, really.
Yeah, I was thinking about the pockets because I do think as an adult woman, I feel we don't get enough pockets, but then baby boys have a lot of pockets. What's the story with that? Like, what are they carrying around?
I don't know what, do you know what? I've spent a lot of this weekend looking at old pictures and videos of the boys when they were younger at Tommy's request. Tommy has been mad about seeing videos of him when he was a baby and when he was a toddler. I found even Shane commented, like, it sounds like you're losing your mind. There was so many videos of me with the boys. And so they're both toddlers, right? And we're sending these videos to Dada because the boys have requested, let's do a video for Dada I have, and we're sending these videos, and we're showing him toys, and we're saying hello, we're saying how's your day, and saying bye, you know, a long time, saying okay, bye, and we're sending these videos to Dada, who's not getting a chance to watch them because he's in work painting gaps.
Poor mama was just late. But yeah, look, it killed 5 minutes, didn't it?
It killed 5 minutes, but like, it, oh, the, like, the videos always end in like me having to pick one of them up into the chair, or one of them knocking the phone out of my hand, or it's just, okay, all right, we say bye then, you know, because we've absolutely, it's been like this podcast, like we've absolutely nothing to say.
I was going to say, this kind of sounds like us.
Yeah, so we just kind of go, okay, bye, say bye now. Oh, you blow a kiss. And it's like, I don't think at the ages of 3 and like 2, Tommy and Joe were turning around to me and saying, look, after we've had these rice cakes, can we just do a video and send it to Dad? Like, it's not like he was really sending any videos back in return. You're just sending
me. Like, Joe was like, do you know who we haven't spoken to in a while, Mom? Dad, let's give him a ring. Oh, yeah, actually, you have the phone right there. You're one step ahead of me, Mammy. Yeah, no, listen, I don't know about you, Tommy, but I'd really like to check in with Dad. Just want to make sure he's safe. Would you mind, Mom? I know you had a lot planned, but would you mind taking time out of your plan and just maybe ringing him? I just want to say bye. That's all I want to say, Mom. I just want to say bye.
And then you can hear just like Peppa Pig in the background, and the camera, like, kind of, you know, I pull the camera back towards me to like turn it off, and you just see there's Emma yet again in her dressing gown.
Oh, well, look, we're all rocking the dressing gown these days.
But it was just like, God, depressing.
It is, but it is funny because I was thinking about the little boy pockets even today now when I went to town with Ted. So we went to town. Sure, by the time we reached town, because we're living in Brandon, Ted is basically jet lagged by the time we've reached Supervalue. But I was saying to Fred, I was like, at this point, I'm going to have to start keeping my keys in Ted's clothes. Like, it's the only place to keep my keys. None of my clothes have pockets. Like, it is at the point now where I'm going to have to keep my keys in my newborn son's jeans. And like, that's stressful because I often lose my keys. So, you know, that's pretty stressful, Emma. They're high stakes.
I don't know why they just don't put any pockets on women's clothing. I think it's because they want you to buy handbags.
How often, definitely the handbags, I think you're right on that theory, but how often, Emma, have you tried something on and said, oh my God, it's got pockets, I'm buying it?
Well, not very often, because I don't seem to find a lot of things with pockets.
Well, that's true, but it's such a rarity that when you do find something, you're like, listen, I'm going for it. It's just, it's a strange one. I just don't know what kind of valuables they're expecting Ted to carry around. Although, he did get his PPS number this week, so we can get him out working.
That's great. Now he's got the PPS number. Yeah. Is that going to be another tier where you disclose Ted's PPS number? Because there could be people out there that might need a loan of a PPS number for a little while.
Well, sharing is caring. And you know what? I mean, at the risk of sounding like Joe Jackson, anything that gets you through. So if you do need a PPS number, please get in touch. Ted Johnny Cook's PPS number is available. We'll definitely put it on a higher tier, though.
Yeah, definitely. But he needs to start paying his way, really, I think.
Well, there's no such thing as a free lunch, Ted. Come on, like, you're 10 weeks now.
He's 10 weeks.
10 weeks. It's flown by.
It does go fast, doesn't it? Like, it feels like it's never ending, but it actually does go very fast.
Well, yeah, and he's double digits now, which kind of makes me a bit sad because I just, you know, in a way you want them to stay small forever.
Yeah. But that's not his plan.
That is not his plan. Did you hear that they spotted a dolphin in Dingle Bay?
Oh, and?
But they came out and said, so we all got very excited because a dolphin was spotted in the bay. And then they came out and said, it's not fungi, which I just think is so cruel. Like, we would have been none the wiser. Why tell us it's definitely not fungi? Just let us believe.
Why wouldn't they let you, like...
But I suppose they don't want to be operating under false pretenses. I mean, look, I guess honesty is the best policy, but, you know, there is an element of, for the year that was, just let us believe that fungi lives.
Sorry, what about, forget about fucking fungi, what about Miggledy saying he's going to get a pet pony?
How crazy is this? So if you listen to Up to 90 on the regular, which we hope you do, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago, Emma, you were chatting about Steo?
It was, well, it was before he made his announcement anyway, that's for sure.
Honestly, Emma, it actually kind of spooked me a bit. This is not the first time Up to 90 has predicted the future. How are we not more of a phenomenon?
I really don't know. And do you know, I've tried to downplay my gift. I have. But now I think I just have to accept it that I can predict the future. What was the other thing I predicted?
There's been so much. Honestly, you are my little resident mystic Meg.
There was something else recently that I predicted. And it came to fruition.
The pandemic. You said to me at Christmas, you're like, Judy, something's going to happen and nobody's going to be able to leave their house.
I did say that, didn't I?
And I was like, Emma, you're not Patricia Arquette. I'm actually starting to think you are Patricia Arquette, because between Steo and the pandemic, now I'll be honest, the day we were talking about Steo, like, you know, sometimes we go off on tangents on this show. And I was unsure. I was like, should I edit down the Steo content a little bit? But given that, when I looked at editing it down, I realized we would be left with 4 minutes of a podcast. I said, look, I'll leave it in for shits and giggles. And people really got on board with the whole Steo thing. And we did get a 5-star review from Sabina, Dublin 7. So I'm thinking that's where the inspiration came from. And Miggledy was like, you know what, Sabina, you're right. Let's go with the pony.
Do you know what really annoyed me about that show that Patricia Arquette was in, Medium?
I know exactly what you're going to say.
You know what I'm going to say. Every fucking time she's there, oh, I just had a fucking vision that it was actually the husband. There's something to do with the husband and the bin. And her husband would say, I don't know, sweetie. I think you're tired or some kind of bullshit. And then a couple of days later, yeah, the husband hid the gun under the bin or whatever the fuck it was. It's just like, oh my God, he never believed her. Like that, and that was the main thing of the whole show.
I mean, you would think when she was right the first time, you might give her some credence the second time. But you see, that you're totally spot on, Emma. And I think it says a lot about how men generally respond to women saying, I think I know something. And they're like, do you? Or have you just been drinking? Like, but not, really?
But not only was she saying, I think I've got a hunch about this. She was employed, as from what I can gather, a full-time employee by the police department.
This was her job.
To solve cases. So not only was he not crediting her with having the powers, he thought that she wasn't able to do her job. Why did he think she'd been hired then? Every fucking thing she said, even if she looked at her watch and she's like, it's coming up to 6 o'clock, he'd be there going, I don't know, sweetie. What did he do? Was he an architect or something?
Some grand designs bullshit for sure. I do like, and she would often have something akin to an air code. Like she'd be like, I think this happened at A96. He's like, no, I mean you're tiring yourself out. You're gonna give yourself a headache. And she's like, maybe I'll just write it down. He's like, no, I mean, close the fridge. You know, you're overworked. That's what it is. Maybe you should take some time off.
he was constantly going to get her like drinks and stuff in the middle of the night. And now I'm thinking, like, what was in those drinks?
I know the L drinks. Because that does remind me of the Teacher's Pet podcast. And when let's just say I won't give too much away. But in the first episode, the husband makes her special drink, and she's never seen again. So I would beware of any drink your husband is bringing you in the middle of the night, because it generally is not going to end well. Because her character in Medium was actually based on this one called Alison Dubois. And she was in a Real Housewives episode because she was good buddies with Camille Grammer, who's the ex-wife of Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And she was a complete and utter nut job, like a complete nut job. So they're having this dinner party and she's there smoking a cigarette, and she has, what do you call that thing that you put a cigarette in and it makes it longer? Cigarette holder?
Yeah.
So she's got an old cigarette holder and she's smoking a cigarette at the dinner party, and she's looking around the table saying things like, your husband will never fulfill you. You had kids to distract yourself from what is an empty marriage. Like, just literally going around, just dropping grenades left, right and center. She is insane. It's completely nuts.
Sounds good, though.
Oh, it's fantastic TV. So and they end up having this like huge part, obviously huge, you know, it turns into a huge argument. But she's very unlikable as a character. I mean, obviously it's great TV, but I feel like I could never watch Medium again having watched the inspiration behind the show, because she's just such a dick. Like, maybe that's why the husband was telling her to shut the fuck up, because because she actually was a dick. He's like, you can't say that to people, Alison. This is a fucking dinner party.
There is this woman around Dublin who her name is Mary Tea Leaves. Myself and Suzanne Keynes were talking about it before. But I would sometimes get messages from people offering to do a reading or whatever.
And I've gotten a few of those.
Give it a rest. But like, I've gone to those parties where you get somebody in to do a reading. And when I think back to it now, I think this was a good few years ago. I think it was 50 quid a head for like 10 minutes or something. And all of mine was absolute, it was all absolute like utter shite. But other people came out and they were like, you know, doing the thing of fanning the eyes and stuff. Oh my God, he's watching us. That was him. Like, you know, when the bin fell over on Thursday night, like that was Granda letting us know he's here. It's like, was it, or was it just another fucking, you know, storm? I'm pretty sure that was Storm Nigella. I don't think that was, and why would he come up to your gaff and tip over your bins?
Well, like, you know, he, in the words of Jerry Halliwell, he always liked the bins. Do you remember Jerry was always saying that about how she was getting the smell of a deep fat fryer, so she knew her dad was with her?
I don't know. Just insane. But you see, that's what I'm going to do. You know, that's my next career, though. I'm going to be a medium.
But Emma, it has to happen, honestly. I mean, you know what? You'd definitely be better. Do you remember those ones who used to be on the Late Late Show and it was such uncomfortable viewing? So they'd be sitting there saying, I'm getting an M. And somebody in the audience would be like, oh! And then, you know, they'd say, it's a My Mary, like reading the person's face for, you know, telltale signs. And they were always way off, like way off in what they were saying. But I guess it's just that thing of like feeding off people's energy, and people want to obviously be connected with someone they've lost.
Yeah. And but I think if I'm going to do this now as my new career, there's two things that I need to do. I need to give the impression that I've poor sight, because that was always a big thing, because I think it was like people thought like, oh well, she's blind, but it obviously means like her other senses work even better and that's how she's psychic. So I think what I'll do is I'll whack on the Stevie Wonder shades So people are like, oh, okay, something going on there. And then what I'll do as well is I'll have quite a strong Nordy accent, because nobody wants to say no to a Nordy. And I'll just be, yeah, and I'll cut my hair really short.
And straight away you have more credibility when you cut your hair short. Yeah.
I cut the hair short, whack the shades on, and I'll have to get a little helper with me as well, because the one that we had, she had a helper with her who basically translates as a woman that went in the kitchen and earwigged and fed it all back to her in the sitting room. But I have a little help.
Of course.
You could be the helper if you wanted.
Obviously, like when you said I'll have to get a helper, I was like, I'm just going to wait for her to say, like, obviously me. Who else would be your little helper? Don't say Ella.
No, but if questions get too hard, you kind of pipe in then. So, Ryan.
I'd have to say she's feeling tired.
Yeah. So, exactly. When Ryan says to me, and tell us, Emma, like, you know, things like lotto numbers and stuff like that. I mean, can you predict things like that? And I'll say, well, Ryan, the thing about the lotto is, and then you step in and say, I think it's getting a bit too much for now. Can we maybe take a break?
Yeah, you'd start to quiver a little bit. I think that's foolproof, really, isn't it?
I'm thinking that's what we should do. I mean, I know we've spent doing this podcast and building it up, but like, let's just go where the fucking money is now at this stage.
Well, I think there's nothing wrong with an L rebrand, and it's not that much. You know, we started with the 90s podcast. I don't think it's that much of a stretch to end up reading Pam's on the Late Late. You know, it's the natural progression, isn't it? And I do think I'm definitely in favour of faking some kind of disability, because, you know, you do just presume the person has exceptional talent elsewhere.
Yes. I think it's...
Yeah, like a heightened sense. So, you know, as you say, if you're blind and you have this kind of sixth sense vibe, or, you know, they're deaf, therefore they must be really good at the drums. Like, you automatically think they have to be exceptional in another way. That's how it works.
Yeah, they can't just be kind of like just getting on with their lives and, you know, no.
Speaking of the lotto, you know, we went to town yesterday and a bird shat on Fred's hand.
Well, if he's gonna...
So we went straight to do the Euro Millions and didn't win.
But like, I've been saying this to Fred for years, to stop picking up birds and squeezing their holes. I know he thinks it's gas, but like, I don't know if the birds like it. Do they?
I don't. Well, look, I mean, Fred and the birds, that's a whole other conversation. Let's face it, that's a whole other tier. But I was at the same spot today and it was the same bird, hit me twice in the back of the head. Like, it must have been with a wing. But the bird followed me. So first of all, I feel something like a whack in the back of my head. And I said to the girl I was walking with, what happened there? And she was like, quite casual, oh, I think maybe the bird hit you in the back of the head. And I was like, okay, I mean, I would be slightly more alarmed. And then we proceeded to walk on and I got another whack in the head. And the bird is basically coming after me.
Well,
have you ever got a whack in the head from a bird?
No, a bird has pooed on my head before. I've never got a whack in the head from a bird, though. Are you not?
Yeah, I didn't even know it was possible.
Have you neglected the birds? Did you used to leave out breadcrumbs and stuff for them, and now you've just stopped doing that?
Well, no, I haven't done that, but it's just I do have to not, because I am naturally such a paranoid person. And you know the way I kind of operate from my default position is everyone hates me and everyone's like, Julie, don't be stupid. And then you go for a walk and a bird whacks you in the back of the head. Not once, but twice. You know, it's hard not to be a little paranoid sometimes, Emma, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, usually I'd be the first one to kind of step up here and tell you, oh, Julie, you're just being silly. But like, I think the birds are out to get you, and they've obviously gotten word from somebody else that you are target Umro Uno, or I don't know if it's a dead person who's been reincarnated into a bird and they're out to get you, or whether a spirit has gotten in touch with the birds and asked them to go after you and finish you off.
Well,
I don't think it's anything to be worried about, but I think the birds are out to get you.
Now, this week we've got something very exciting planned, don't we, Emma?
We don't. After consulting... Sorry,
Retake!
No, it's fine. Keep it in. That's just Joe and Tommy leaving the room there when they saw I was doing a podcast. They were like, and we're out. Yes, after consulting with our Up to 90 WhatsApp group, and it's just an organic conversation that always is going down, we said that we might do that we are going to do a watch along for the Late Late Toy Show on Friday night.
It's happening. Yes. So we're going to be doing a watch along within our WhatsApp group. You can, of course, join our WhatsApp group if you are subscribing to us on Patreon. For a mere $5 a month, you get exclusive access to this group of gorgeous people. I mean, so far, the lols have been aplenty, haven't they, Emma?
They have. And people were asking me today about extra episodes. Extra episodes will still happen there as well. So it's all kind of all within the one tier.
If you want to join our Up to 90 community, you can find us, of course, on Patreon.com/Up to 90 podcast. And I think this is going to be a bit of crack now this week with the toy show, because so far, I think if I'm being honest, Emma, a few people in this group, they're a little bit too funny. Like, we're supposed to be the comedians. Have you felt like that as well?
A little bit. There's been, yeah, I have felt like that a little bit, to be honest. I'm glad you said it.
Well, some people have been bringing it a bit too much. So, look, it's definitely going to be a bit of a giggle. If you do want to get involved, we're there on Patreon, $5 a month, and it's always a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
It's going to be good, yeah. And it's an all, there's like a tip jar tier, but the main tier is where it all happens. So you never really know what extra stuff, well, we have it laid out like, but you know, there's always extra stuff along the way that you never know when it's going to happen, because that's how we work now. But if you fancy joining us,
we like to keep people on their toes.
It'll be good fun, won't it?
Do you know what I started watching? Have you watched The Undoing, Mrs. on Now TV?
No, I haven't watched it. It's good.
Have you seen it advertised with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant?
Oh, I have, actually. I've seen it advertised. And I've seen little bits of it from watching Gogglebox. It does actually look really good. I just haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, I watched the first four episodes. I think another episode is coming out this week. But I find with Nicole in The Undoing, so obviously it centres around this, you know, wealthy couple and a murder. So tick, tick. But ultimately, let's face it with Hugh Grant. He's just playing Hugh Grant, isn't he, really?
I think he's only ever really playing Hugh Grant. And I think he admits to that himself. I actually watched a Hard Man documentary the other day, you know, the company that did all the Wallace and Gromit and whatever, because Tommy is mad for this stuff, and Hugh Grant was in it because he voiced one of the characters in one of their movies, and he was saying about one of the scenes or something like that, and he was like, I was actually going to involve some acting, like a bit of performance, which I usually avoid. So I think he's kind of aware of it himself, that he's like, yeah, as long as it's not acting, I'll act.
He owns the fact that he's only ever playing Hugh Grant, and he's not looking to challenge himself in any way.
No.
Which is fine. Yeah. You know, we all respect that. But I do find in this now, I have to say, I thought I'd love it. And I did sit down and watch four episodes. I did binge it. So I obviously didn't dislike it.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of just Nicole Kidman staring into space. And I do find with the, as you say, she's gone a little bit pillowy. And I kind of find the expressions are just getting more and more subtle, like to the point where you're like, okay, we're literally now just looking at Nicole Kidman's face. I'm not quite sure what the point of this is. So there's just a lot of Nicole Kidman staring into space, saying things like, I know my husband, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because even like I can see a lot more now because she, you know, the way ages ago I got the old Botox, I tried it out. But to be honest, like it was grand, and like you definitely notice the difference. Like if you say to Shane, he's like, I don't notice a difference at all. But like I wouldn't really get it again, to be honest, because because you do lose your expression. So like even though like I've a massive scrotumy forehead, like if you get Botox, you can't move it. So you do lose like the expression. So I was like, do you know what? I actually, even though it looks good and whatever, I was like, I wouldn't get it again. I would definitely get other stuff, but I wouldn't get I wouldn't get fillers personally, because I think that's actually where a lot of that pillowy face thing comes in. And I totally get it. Like you're under huge pressure, especially if I can only imagine if you're at that level of superstardom, to look your best and whatever. But noticing everyone that has it, or you can see, like say Jennifer Aniston, she definitely gets something, but I can't figure out what she gets because she still has a lot of movement. So I'm like, whatever the fuck she's getting is really, really good, because it doesn't scream but you know.
Yeah, and she's definitely had like some kind of fillers or something done, but as you say, she's probably a good example of someone that has had work done just enough so that you're thinking, okay, she looks good, but not so much that it's very obvious that she's had work done. And I suppose it is that kind of, it's very hard to see yourself as other people see you.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, first of all, as well, to check you on your scrotum forehead, you've been hanging out with me too long, because for, I think, the first 2 years I did comedy, I used to describe myself as a scrotum head. Like, there's nothing scrotum-esque about your head.
No, there is.
If you take nothing away from the podcast today, know that, Emma.
No, but I'm not saying that as a, like, a self-deprecating thing, like, oh, like, my scrotum fired. I have a very, like, expressive face. And if I'm, like, highly expressed, there are, I mean, loads of lines on my forehead. I know exactly what my forehead looks like when I raise my eyebrows. I'm just saying that that's what my face is like. I have a really big expressive face. So that, like, say when I got it, I was like, oh, I just want a little bit, and it looks good. But like, because I got so little, and because my face is so expressive, it really only lasted about 6 weeks. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm just going to have to live with my face. But now, totally, people should get whatever they want and done to their face. My only criticism is that if it's distracting when somebody's acting, you may rethink what you're getting done, because your face is a crucial part of acting.
Of course. Well, it kind of comes back to, you know, Maria Bamford has that great joke about somebody suggesting she get Botox, and she's like, oh no, because I still use my face. Like, there is a bit of that. Like, I think they, you know, say, for example, you and I think we both have really expressive faces. And the funny thing is, one thing that I do like about myself in relation to comedy is that I do think I can do quite an expressive face, and I can do funny facial expressions. And okay, you know, the flip side is the price I'm paying is that I do have quite, you know, furrowed forehead, or I have eye lines, all the rest. But I think that that's kind of the payoff that I pay, because the flip side is that you have this ability to express yourself in a funny, amusing way, which is kind of part of the job. So with Nicole, what I found, obviously fantastic actress, all the rest, like brilliant actor. But I found this now, you know, there's a lot of her just staring at a television screen or staring at a detective as he's telling her something. And the only thing really she's giving back in terms of response is just her eye movement. Like, the face just remains the same the whole time.
Right, okay.
So it does, for me, it does kind of distract from the story that's being told, because you're looking at her thinking, now she is stunning in it. Like, the hair is curly red, which I love the fact that she's come back to the curly red in this film.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's absolutely beautiful. She always does act. I mean, obviously the acting is always on point, but I'm looking at her face and thinking, this is a bit ridiculous now, because nothing is moving bar, I think her eyes are darting from side to side.
Yeah.
It does kind of distract a little bit too much. No, I will say on that note, Fred was in this very funny, I don't know what it was called. It's something on Netflix, but it was some kind of murder mystery thing where he basically gets killed off. So he plays a chef. And now, actually, see, this is a visual thing, so it's not going to work in a podcast, but you've met Fred. So this is back in the day where the hair is crazy and he's like in a white coat. So everyone's like, okay, he's a chef. And then they're like, okay, so this is the kitchen, blah, blah, blah. And then 10 minutes later, somebody informs the detective, you won't believe this, but we've got a murder on our hands. And the detective just happens to be hanging out at this restaurant. What a coincidence. And they go into the kitchen and Fred is lying on the ground. But Emma, to say it is the worst acting I've ever seen. So Fred one night was like, do you want to see really bad acting? And I said, do I? And then show me the scene where he's lying on the ground. His eyes are darting, Nicole Kidman style. They're darting from side to side. And he's smiling and he's just lying on the ground. And I'll put up, I'll actually take a clip of it, just a picture of it, and I'll put it up on the Instagram or something, because I don't know what director said, this is okay. Like, God knows how many takes they had to get through for them to say, look, nobody's going to notice that he's smiling and that he's blinking. It's grand.
What is this thing?
It's, do you know what? I must ask Fred what the film is. Hang on. Will I go out and ask him what the name of the film is?
Yeah, ask him.
It's like a short film. Here, I'll pop out. Oh, God, can't see a thing. It gets dark so early now in West Kerry. It's unreal. Because you know the way we have a little bit less light in the evenings than the East Coast?
Okay, yeah. God, it must be getting dark early.
Obviously, this will be edited out of the podcast. It goes without saying, this is not podcast talk. I just want to ask, Fred, it's something beginning with V. Hang on, just go out to... Sure, he's only faffing around with the baby. He could at least get involved. Fred Pett, what's that thing you were in where you play dead really badly?
Vexed. Yeah.
And it's on Netflix, isn't it?
It's series 3 on Netflix.
It's series 3 on Netflix.
Yes, yeah.
But is it a short film? It's a series, isn't it?
It's a series, yeah, yeah. It's a crime, comedy crime, dark crime. Ooh. That's why I was killed off.
Emma, you have to watch it. I'm going to send you a little clip of it. No, I was just just talking about bad acting.
Oh, yeah.
And that scene where you're lying on the ground, even Fred's pissing himself here, and you're laughing in it, and you're on the ground, and your eyes are moving from side to side.
I'm breathing heavily, yeah.
You're breathing heavily. I don't think that, but anyway, look, it's worth a watch.
Okay, nice.
But yeah, so there you go. I think that's about it, Emma Bear. So look, to end on an Anne Frank quote, what a wonderful thought it is that some of the best days of our lives haven't even happened yet. # stay positive. I've been GDJ.
I've been Nicole Kidman. God bless.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.